Good morning to you all, and welcome to our worship on this 13th Sunday after Trinity. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you. The collect for this 13th Sunday after Trinity. Almighty God, who called your church to bear witness that you were in Christ reconciling the world to yourself, help us to proclaim the good news of your love, that all who hear it may be drawn to you, through him who was lifted up on the cross and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ, according to Matthew. Jesus began to show his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and undergo great suffering at the hands of the elders and chief priests and scribes, and be killed, and on the third day be raised. And Peter took him aside and began to rebuke him, saying, God forbid it, Lord, this must never happen to you. But he turned and said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You are a stumbling block to me, for you are setting your mind not on divine things, but on human things. Then Jesus told his disciples, if any want to become my followers, let them deny themselves and take up their cross and follow me. For those who want to save their life will lose it, and those who lose their life for my sake will find it. For what will it profit them if they gain the whole world but forfeit their life? Or what will they give in return for their life? For the Son of Man is to come with his angels in the glory of his Father, and then he will repay everyone for what has been done. Truly I tell you, there are some standing here who will not taste death before they see the Son of Man coming in his kingdom. This is the gospel of the Lord. Last Sunday, for those of you who were not here, or for those of you who don't remember the sermon, which is fine, I won't take it personally, it was about Jesus asking the disciples who they thought he was. Peter replied with the answer, you are the Messiah, the Son of the living God. This week, we have a reading in a similar vein with the reading from Exodus. Last Sunday, we heard the first part of Moses' life read to us in our first Bible reading, where there was a new king, Pharaoh of Egypt, who did not know who Joseph was and all that had gone before, and saw the Israelite nation growing too big, and so decided to stop it by killing those who were born male. Moses' parents hid him and then placed him in the river, where Pharaoh's daughter found him and took him and to take care of him. In our Exodus reading today, 40 years have passed and Moses is in Midian, working as a shepherd with a flock of sheep. It's a far cry from the palace he grew up in Egypt. Yet this question of identity is apparent just as it was last week in our gospel reading. The question of who am I, who are you, comes around again, just in a different set of circumstances. And all this comes about because God wants Moses' attention and does so by appearing as an angel of the Lord in a flame of a bush that does not burn. We will all have seen the recent pictures of scorched fields and forests that have been burnt to the ground from wildfires over these last few months. We will have seen the devastation that fire can have when it starts on land that is just so dry, and how quickly that it can spread in a matter of minutes. This burning bush is beyond the wilderness and at the mountain of God, Horeb, on which Horeb is another name for Sinai, where Moses will one day receive the Ten Commandments from God. But for now, Moses is here as a shepherd, leading his sheep, which belong to his father-in-law, Jethro. Would a burning bush get our attention, or would we panic and phone 999 for the fire brigade? For Moses, he notices it, and his curiosity is caught, so he comes closer to see it in more detail. A podcast that I listen to about our readings each week spoke of a loss of enchantment in our Western culture, that if we saw a burning bush, we would, particularly at this precise moment in time, think it was on fire and we'd call for help before it spread. But have we lost that imagination somehow? Somewhere along the way, Have we lost that idea that God will speak to us in weird and wonderful ways? Do we have that as our experience, or is it something that is now in the past because we live in that instant society where we can Google everything at the touch of a button to discover how it works or to answer a question? Have we lost some of the mystery of the world around us and therefore also lost some of our understanding that God may speak to us through events that we don't understand? It is God who calls upon Moses, who grabs his attention. And while God wants him close, not too close. In fact, he tells Moses to take off his sandals where he stands because he is on holy ground. Holy ground. What makes ground holy? Is it the fact that God is there? Or is it a place that would one day be seen as a holy place due to its significance? Did Moses need to take off his shoes? And why did God ask him to do that? Some commentators believe it was an act of obedience on the part of Moses, and that he did what he was asked by God, who then tells Moses who the burning bush is, and that it is in fact God, the God of his father, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob. And as we get into the middle of the story that we heard this morning, we find Moses asking the who question. Who am I to go to Pharaoh? Who Moses is fairly complicated. Moses is born to two Levite parents in the middle of a politically led genocide by Pharaoh, who has no knowledge of the past and calls for the Hebrew nation to be limited by the death of those born male. Moses somehow survives this all and is brought up in the Pharaoh's household by his daughter. He is loyal to his fellow Hebrews. However, after killing an Egyptian, he runs for his life and then is spoken of as being an Egyptian by the daughters of Jethro, one of which he later marries. So his question of who am I to go back is probably a fair one. But God doesn't reassure him when he asks that with platitudes that he is the right man for the job or try and convince him that he can do the job that God has for him. What God does is answer the who question with a response of, I will be with you. God doesn't deny Moses' feelings of being inadequate, but counters it with his own presence in the situation. I will be with you. With you. Not for you, although I am sure that is the case too, but with an assurance of God's faithfulness as the situation develops. And then we come to who God is as Moses asks what to say when the people say, who has sent you to us? And God answers, I am who I am. The sentence in English doesn't really do it justice, as with a lot of Bible texts and words, as to the complete understanding of what is meant. And I'm going to do a really bad job of explaining it as well. The root of the word in Hebrew means to be, which has a theme of intimacy running through it, which runs true to what we know about God and his desire to be in a relationship with us. There are many different ways to say this and have it written down, but it could be also phrased, I am whoever I want to be, not held back by human thoughts, but I will be who I will be. Or as we have it translated, I am who I am. Who is Moses? Well, Moses is the one to whom God will accompany to back to Egypt to accomplish God's purposes. Who is God? He's the God of our ancestors of the faith, the one who was and is and shall be, the one who is always with us. Which leads us to the question of who are we? Who am I? How would we define ourselves in the light of our faith and belief in God the Father, in Jesus the Son, and in the Holy Spirit? Who we are in Christ will help us to live lives that are God-filled, looking for opportunities to spread God's message of love to all who will accept it. We might not be called on, as Moses was, to free a nation and lead them to a new place, but we are called to love our neighbours as ourselves. And you never know. You may one day come across a burning bush in the wilderness, and it may be God trying to get your attention. Or it could just be a bush on fire, in which case, please call the fire brigade. Amen. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen.
The peace of God, which passes all understanding.
Keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and love of God and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. And the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be with you and with all those whom you love, now and always. Amen. Amen. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. In the name of Christ. Amen. Amen.